Hi, my name is Kasper Lasenius, and I'm a professor of software engineering here at Aalto University. In this course, I will take you on a tour of the exciting topic of software engineering. It's my hope that after this course, you will share my interest in and enthusiasm for software engineering. Now then, what is software engineering all about? Software engineering is about developing software for the real world. And you know, we all know that developing software is about coding. And all of you have already taken some programming course or even similar courses. Some of you might even have coded for a really long time and might be very good at it. Whereas others might just have had, you know, your first experience and might not yet be fully proficient on or even like the whole endeavor of coding. Well, I'd say that regardless of which group of people you belong to, this course should have something to offer to you. So, as I said, software engineering deals with how to develop software for the real world. And by that I mean outside this kind of protected educational environment that we are in which we typically keep the exercises small and quite easy to make learning as easy and efficient as possible, both for students and teachers. And that's also why most of your programming exercises might be individual. But obviously in the real world, the real-world software out there that's running the web, that's in our telephones, running our infrastructure, running our own computers, keeping society alive, most of it was not developed by a single individual, but by teams of people. So in software engineering, we discuss what's needed for teams of developers to work together to build and maintain software systems and products. These teams can be small, just a few people, or for huge systems, the teams can be very large as well, up to thousands of people working on the same software at the same time. In addition to dealing with these teams, we are also interested in how to build systems and products that excite the users and possibly even developers as well. We will learn that there is much more to developing large software systems than coding, although it's naturally always a central part. It's software development after all. During this course, we will learn about things like understanding user requirements, that is, what the system we are building should be doing, how to design and develop systems, and how to ensure the quality of what we built, as well as also learn about development processes and how to manage software development undertakings. We will start to talk about these subjects immediately next week. But for this week, we will have to contain our enthusiasm, as there are some things I need to tell you about the practical aspects of the course before we delve into the actual subject of software engineering. Okay, so let's talk about some practical matters you need to know for taking this course. First of all, as I'm sure you know by now, this is a self-study course which is completely delivered through my courses. So there are no physical lectures in any lecture halls that you need to attend. Instead, everything that you need for the course is in my courses. That includes all materials and also all work or exercises that you need to do. The course follows a weekly schedule, opening a new module every week. And this schedule is fixed in the sense that the deadline for the previous week's module is each Wednesday at 8:00 a.m. and the new module opens at 8:15 every Wednesday. In addition to these weekly modules, there will be a traditional pen and paper exam at the end of the course. And for you to pass the course, you need to get enough points both from the weekly exercises and from the final exam. Okay, let's next take a look at the course content. So the course consists of weekly modules, as I just explained. There is a total of 13 weekly modules, and they are listed here on this slide. So the first module, which is the one you are listening to right now, that's the course overview module, where I will give you information you need to successfully do the course. Next week will be the first week with actual substance. So then we will have an introduction to software engineering, when I will talk about what software engineering is all about, why I think it's important, and what the different activities and processes involved in software engineering are. Weeks 3 and 4 we will talk about software processes, which are the overall ways of organizing and running software development. So the week three will be about traditional software processes and an overview of the whole idea of software processes. Whereas module four will be about modern software development processes like agile software development. You might have heard about agile development, DevOps, and so on. These are topics we will cover in module four. After these high-level overviews of software processes, we will delve into the more specific processes or activities related to software engineering. So in week five, we will talk about requirements engineering, and that's all about finding out what our software needs to do. So this would be when we try to understand what users need and what kind of functionalities the software needs to have, as well as so-called non-functional requirements, for example, related to performance or security, robustness, and so on. Module six is about the high-level design we do for our system. Before starting coding and implementing, we typically want to do a high-level design of the so-called software architecture, and that will be the topic of that module. In module seven, we will talk about more detailed software modeling, design, and implementation. Module eight will be about ensuring quality of what we have built. So that will be about software testing and other approaches to quality assurance. Module nine will deal with software configuration management and also continuous integration, delivery, and deployment. Module 10 will be about how to organize for and manage software engineering undertakings with various sizes of projects. So we will talk about organizational structures, how to build software teams, how to run and manage software projects. In module 11, we will talk about distributing software development globally. So we have global software development, which means that we might have developers from various parts of the world involved in the same project, building the same product, and how to make them work well together. Hybrid software engineering refers to the fact that we might have teams where some people work at home, some people work in the office, and so on, and we need to figure out how to make hybrid software engineering teams work well together. Finally, module 12, which is the final content module, will be about software process improvement, how we can improve the way we develop software in our organization, and also we will touch upon the topic of software business. As we all know, software is something you can make not only small amounts of money, but huge amounts of money. So we will talk a little bit about software business, business opportunities, and startups in module 12. Module 13, then will be course feedback, and there will also be a possibility to do extra modules that I will talk to you about shortly. And finally, the course will end then with a pen and paper exam. So let's delve into what a module looks like. So every week, as I said, there will be a module published, and each module will consist of one or several videos. Some might be made by myself, some might be made by others. You're supposed to look and learn what's said in the videos. There will also be some readings. These will typically be 1 to 2 papers, articles. All of the readings will be provided in my courses. You don't need to acquire anything outside what is available there. So based upon the videos and readings, there will then be 2 kinds of exercises for you to do each week. One will be a quiz, which is basically built to test the learning from the readings. And in addition, there will be a written assignment, which is typically an essay of 1 to 2 pages of text, but it can also be a modeling task or some other practical task for you to do. A little bit more about the quizzes. So the idea of the quizzes is basically to check that you have read the material. And the idea is that you should read the material before taking the quiz. The quiz will then contain 8 to 10 questions, which might be multiple choice. There might be matching tasks and true-false tasks. You will have 30 minutes to take the quiz. And In case you answer incorrectly, it will not show you which questions you answered incorrectly in order for you not to start iterating the quiz to avoid, and that this way avoid trial and error answering. You are able to take the quiz twice, and the score from the better or of your attempt will be your final score. I have designed the questions to be really easy if you have read the material. If you think you know the stuff but you haven't read the material, there is a pretty high chance that you will answer incorrectly. The max score you can get from the quiz is 4 points. And then the written assignments. There will be a written assignment, some kind of text for you to produce each week, which will be based upon the readings. There will be both theoretical and practical assignments, and typically I want you to write between 500 and 1,000 words. Many of you might think that 500 would be easier. In most cases, actually, writing a short and good essay is much more difficult than writing a long one. There will be exact information about the length required in the actual exercises. So you will get an essay to write or another task based upon the material that you will submit each week. And then after you have submitted, you will also be grading the assignments, peer grading the assignments of three other students. Now, the idea here is not to save our work. We will read through all the essays and check the gradings. The idea behind this peer grading is to help you learn more by deepening your understanding through reading and reflecting on how some other students did the exercise. The idea here is that if you write your own essay and you read three, then there's a very high chance that something of that will have stuck in your brain. So we do this to help you learn, not to save our work. There are clear grading criteria will be given for the essays, and you will get 4 points, a maximum of 4 points for your own essay, and a maximum of 2 points for grading the other essays. However, you cannot either submit an essay or grade the essay of other students. You must do both, otherwise you will get 0 points from the whole exercise. And as I said, we will also assess both the grades given as well as the assignment. And we actually try to, our assistants will try to give you individualized feedback on the written assignments to help support your learning. So the course flow is really simple. There's an exercise deadline every Wednesday at 8 when you need to submit, by which you need to submit the last week's assignment. That is the written assignment, the quiz, and the peer grading of the assignments the week before the last week. So basically every week you will, in addition to doing the written assignments and the quiz, you will also grade some older assignment from the other students. Note that this is a very big course. So the deadlines are absolute and they are automatically enforced by my courses. So you will not be able to get any excuses for being late. There will be some possibilities for you if you are not unable to do some module, to do some extra modules at the end of the course. But there will be no changes possible for the deadlines. You will have to adhere to them strictly. If you have a doctor's note, for example, for an operation or something other more serious that you need to be in the hospital or a similar situation, then you can send me the information about your particular situation, including the doctor's certificates, and then we can have a discussion. But in most cases, the easiest way for you to manage is to just, if you miss a module, to do make up for it at the end of the course. And that's why we have what I call the two-module excuse system. In practice, this means that after the course, the normal modules, you will have the opportunity to do some extra work to make up for missed points in up to two modules. So we will have two extra modules that are made available after the normal modules, and you can use them to make up for missed work. Or even if you just are unhappy with the points you got from previous modules, you can use these modules to help raise your score and get a better grade for the course. You can use the assignments in these modules, which have the same structure as the other modules, to make up for individual assignments or even complete modules. If you try to raise your score, the better score will be used. So there will be no penalty for doing the extra modules. You cannot lower your score by doing these modules. You can only improve it. And finally, we will have an exam. This will be a traditional pen and pencil exam with no materials or electronics allowed use during the exam. All materials that you might require will be provided as part of the exam. The exam will be based on the material covered during the course, and I will also make some reading guidelines available before the exam. This exam can basically improve or lower your grade, plus minus one from the grade you would get based upon the assignment. However, note that a failed exam will fail the whole course, regardless of your points from the weekly exercises. So even if you have an extremely unlikely situation with 100% points from the weekly exercises, but you fail the exam, then you will fail the whole course. There will be two takes for the exam. You can take one or both, one in December and one in February. However, there will be no extra exams arranged. So if you are unable to make these two, then you need to retake the course next year. And one thing that you probably are very interested in is the grading. So the grading will be based upon the points you get from the weekly modules and the exam. And to pass the course, you need enough points from both. So from the exercises, you can get up to 10 points from each substance module, of which there are 11. So that gives a maximum of 110 points. And for the non-substance modules, which include this week's module that you're listening to right now, and the course feedback module at the end of the course, they will give you 5 points each. So there's a total then of 120 points. And in the table, you can see on the screen, you can see the points and grades awarded for the exercises. And next, the grading for the exam. So the exam can give you 0 to 50 points. And these will alter your course grade that you got based on the modules. So the effect on the course grade by the exam is the following. If you have less than 30 points, you will fail the course regardless of any points you might have from the exercises. If you have 30 to 35 points, your grade from the exercises will be lowered by one. Note that it also applies to a grade of one from the exercises. If you have a grade of 1 from the exercises and up to 35 points in the exam, you will still fail the course. If you have between 36 and 44 points, that will have no effect on the grade that you got from the exercises. And if you have 45 to 50 points, then that will improve your grade by 1. Unfortunately, we are not able to apply that to exercise grades 0 and 5. So even a full score in the exam will not make you pass the course. You still need to have a passable points from the exercises. And also, unfortunately, we are not able to give you a grade of 6. So if you already have a grade of 5 from the exercises, that will also be your final grade, even if you get close to a perfect score on the exam. So just to recoup, to pass the course, you must get then at least 65 points from the exercises and at least 36 points from the exam. Or get at least 75 points from the exercises and at least 30 points from the exam. This might sound tough, but you will note that it's really easy if you just do the weekly exercises, the exam will not be a problem for you. So don't worry about it. This is not as hard as it might look. Okay, let's talk now about how I need you to work during the course. So the most important thing is for the assignments that you submit, you must write them yourself. You can discuss them with fellow students, but the text must be written by you. For the quizzes, there will be a large set of questions that will be randomly selected. So even when you take the quiz twice during a module, you will not get the same questions. However, I would like you not to discuss the quizzes and the questions and their answers with other students until you have submitted your own and they have submitted theirs. And when writing, it's really important that you reference any sources you use for the material or material that you use in your exercises. There are separate referencing guidelines available, but the basic idea for referencing is that it's a way to show where you got your ideas from. But remember that even if you reference, you cannot copy text directly. That's not acceptable. You cannot find something on the internet and copy paste that into an essay and reference it and say that, you know, this is my submission. You need to write the text yourself. You can, however, cite and reference short passages. For example, definitions are often copied verbatim, but they must be clearly marked as quotes. Long passages like a whole paragraph or several sentences, unless, for example, in a definition, should not be quoted. You should rewrite that with your own words. For references, I would like you to use the Harvard system, as is described in the instructions. And when I ask you to use the Harvard system, which is based on author and date, you must use that system. You cannot, for example, use the IEEE system with numbers in brackets. And when writing your assignments, you must reference both the course material and also any other sources that the exercises might have you look for. Okay, and then a very important thing. Now we have these new generative AI systems based upon large language models. So what about them? How should we do we deal with them during this course? Well, we still subscribe to the very basic idea that you must write the assignments yourself. You cannot use text copied from the internet. It cannot be generated by AI, ChatGPT or whatever, or written by a friend. It must be written by you. So here, from my point of view, ChatGPT is considered the same as a knowledgeable friend who is not allowed to write your exercises. You also need to understand that ChatGPT and other large language models are not valid sources or references. So you cannot cite them and say in your reference list, this was made by ChatGPT. And it's really important for you to also remember that ChatGPT can make things up. So you cannot really trust what it says, even though it might look perfect on the surface. So please, do not use ChatGPT and the likes to do your essays. However, some language checking systems that are very good, for example, Grammarly, are also built on AI. That's perfectly fine for you to use that for grammar language checking. However, remember that the actual language is not the key issue we are looking for in your essays. We are looking for signs of you understanding and digesting the material. So we will also analyze all assignments using the Turnitin system for both plagiarism and the use of generative AI. So we will do our best to try to catch you if you use these systems. And if you get caught cheating by plagiarizing or using generative AI, the first line of defense will be for us to give you 0 points for a single exercise, and if it repeats, then you will fail the whole course. And you will also be reported to the Aalto system for cheating and dealt with then at a more formal level. So please just abide with these very simple rules.
Okay, and then finally, if you have any questions, don't hesitate to contact us. The first place for you to ask any question you might have is in the fora in my courses. You will find them on the course main page. So if you have any questions, feel free to ask them there. If you have something that you need a quick answer to, it can be a good idea to post to the Telegram group. So please join that. We typically answer questions there faster than the questions in my courses. And finally, if you have some question that you are uncomfortable asking publicly with others that other students can read, then please send me an email to my email address, which you see here, and then we can take care of it. We will try to answer your questions quickly. Typically, we promise to answer within 24 hours, and we will not answer during nights and weekends. We will answer during normal office hours. So don't, if you send questions late, the night before the deadline, you cannot expect to get an answer for that. So please give us some time to answer your questions. And that's all I have for you for this first video. I'm really happy to have you on the course. And next week we will start with the substance. So there are one very important thing I would like you to do right now if you haven't. And that is block time for this course in your calendar so you really have a chance of working with it. And with that, have a great week and I will see you again next week. Bye for now.